facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome to Monday. Welcome to another week on the Cale Clark Show. I'm so happy that you're with me. Hey, why don't you call this number right now? 888-914-9149. Man, it's December the 5th already. 20 days to Christmas. I can't believe it. It's happening so fast. But we got to make the most of Advent as well. You can also email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. That's kind of my social media platform of choice, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And we have a show account too, at Cale Clark Show. But once again, that phone number to call, 888-914-9149. Got lots and lots to talk about today. Can't wait to dive into it. A Catholic bishop called Hillary Clinton an evil woman. An evil woman. We'll talk about that. I want to ask the question, can politics and religion ever be separated? Or even, should they be separated? We'll chat about that. Plus, I want to ask you this question, too. I'd love your take on the whole Hillary Clinton thing. 888-914-9149. If you know what I'm talking about, maybe you've read about this. I'll share the story with you in a minute. 888-914-9149. Plus, I want to ask you this, because we're coming up to the end of the year. It's always good to get a best of list. What's the best book that you read in 2022, and why? What's the best book that you read in 2022? We can talk about movies and stuff another time, but today I want to talk about books. What's the best book you read in 2022, and why is that? 888-914-9149. Could be a spiritual book, could be a Catholic book, could be something else, a biography, a business book, anything that kind of grabbed you. I want to hear about this, and maybe it'll give people some ideas about things they can read on the holidays, the holy days. That's where that word comes from, in case you didn't know, but you probably did because you're smart and you're hip and you're with it. I don't know if I am, but you are, so you probably knew that. And yeah, people have a chance to maybe read some stuff, and I'm looking for ideas too. I'm looking for recommendations. So once again, what's your favorite book of 2022? But hey, because it's Monday, in case you missed last week, we had an incredible week on the show. As always, it was so much fun to chat with you and all the good stuff that we talked about. In case you missed it, don't forget, you can always get the podcast for every show that we have right here on Relevant Radio, whether it's The Faith Explained, whether it's this program, or any of the other fine offerings that we have. You can go to the archives, relevantradio.com, the app, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, you name it. And please, if you are there, if you're so kind, give us a 5-star rating and a review. That helps people to find our show when they look up podcasts on Apple, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, wherever you may listen to that stuff. So in case you, and here's another thing too, in case you did, and you say, I'm not going to go back there, I don't have time. Make the time. Just kidding. But in case you don't, producer Jim has you covered, because he's got a little pricey of the week for you, a little, you know, condensed version, like Campbell's condensed soup, I guess. It's the week that was on the Cale Clark Show. Hit it, Jim. I think we'd probably all be in agreement that there's been a general decline in Catholic family life over the last 40 years. This is one of the things that Michael Ann Martin says. We've got to readjust our priorities, teach our children to live our faith inside and outside of the home. In other words, we've got to be intentional about creating a Catholic culture. The most predictive pattern that will kill a relationship over time, it's contempt. Contempt is criticism with an air of superiority. The antidote is gratitude. And so gratitude, according to Matt Schnuck, it's a magic emotion, because when you feel gratitude, you can't feel anger or sadness at the same time. I think this is an incredibly perceptive quote from Thomas Merton. He says that for me, being a saint, sanctity means being myself. And so often we think that being a saint means becoming somebody else, maybe even somebody that we wouldn't want to hang out with. I always think about Ned Flanders on The Simpsons, you know, that ubiquitous character, the Christian guy who lives close to Homer Simpson and in the neighborhood. And
oakley-dokley-doo.
Secular people sometimes think that, to be a Christian means to be this sort of cookie cutter type individual. No. It actually means being the best version of yourself. I don't know much about St. Francis of Rome, but apparently she really struggled with anger. And so over time, St. Francis of Rome, through, you know, trial and error, falling and picking herself back up again by God's grace, she eventually was able to beat this, and she became quite mild-mannered eventually. So because she was able to emerge victorious by God's grace in this struggle, now people who are struggling with that same problem can ask her, as the fund manager of gentleness, if you will, to give us some of that. You know, help us out here. Can you pray for me in this area that I can conquer my anger? This is when I lived in Nova Scotia, in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So there was a big community outcry when the casino was built, and some executives from Las Vegas came in, and they would say things to us that kind of shocked me at the time. And they said, well, don't be surprised if you're walking around the gaming floor and you see somebody at the slot machines, especially, and they'll go to the bathroom in their pants.
Gross.
And I'm thinking, maybe in Vegas, but not here. Well, I saw it happen personally about 3 times when I was working at the casino, where people would do that. We're talking about what makes a great boss. What are some of the maybe bad examples you've seen? I know, Producer Jim, you're always telling me about bosses that you've had in the industry in the past and some of your frustrations. And it's always a blessing when you're in a place where you feel nurtured, right?
It really is. And I really do have to say Father Rocky definitely sets the gold standard as bosses go. You know, just the community he's built here at Relevant Radio, it's a blessing.
It really is. Let's go to Sue in Wisconsin.
I just want to tell you, this is a phenomenal discussion. This should be something that high school students should hear, college students in business should hear. I didn't know a lot about Elon Musk until he was on Saturday Night Live, and then he kind of got talked about a little bit more. I will just say, I think what an amazing example he is for leadership that should be followed by everybody in this country. I think his work ethic is phenomenal.
This is what we're looking for in this season of Advent. We're looking for the joy that comes with the Savior and his birth. But in order to really grab onto this joy, we have to be detached from ourselves. And I've given this acronym. It's kind of cheesy, but preachers use it all the time. But what does joy spell? J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Got someone you might know on line one. It's Lucas Holt, who used to produce this show here on Relevant Radio down in Florida. Lucas, thanks for calling in, man.
I really, really appreciated your take, because in this Advent season, you know, looking at the coming of Christ, not only at Christmas, but at the end times, has actually been something that's helped me live more in the present, really helped me put things in perspective, keeping an eye on eternity.
That's true. Like all these problems we have, they're real problems, but they're not of ultimate significance in most cases. And so I love the readings in Advent because they do focus on the last things. And that was the last thing that we talked about last week on the Cale Clark Show. That was kind of the best of the week. Thanks to Producer Jim once again for spinning such a gem. Hey, you even got into it this time, so congratulations to yourself, I guess. But hey, congratulations to everybody who really has made this show what it is. And it's really your show. I'm just hosting it, but love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. That was the best of the week. I want to know, what was the best book that you read in 2022? I'm looking for good recommendations. Want to hear from you. 888-914-9149. And we'll talk about Hillary later and what the bishop said about her in just a sec. But I want to get to this question on the book. So if you have a take on that too, by all means, call in. Grab your spot, 888-914-9149. Let's go to the phones right now, though. Let's go to Eric in St. Petersburg. Hey, Eric.
Hi, Cale. Really happy to call in. My favorite book that I read this year was a book that I only learned about on Relevant Radio.
Oh, yeah?
Joan of Arc by Mark Twain.
Yeah, by the way, this is a good...
I didn't grow up Catholic or even Christian, and so I didn't know only the most superficial things about Joan of Arc. But a year ago, I converted to Catholic because of Relevant Radio's influence. I've written to Patrick and others about this, but somehow during the last year, I heard a program, I don't even remember whose program it was, where they talked about Joan of Arc by Mark Twain, and so I looked into it, and I ordered one online and read it and found it profoundly moving. Really unbelievable that someone who's not associated with the Christian faith at all wrote. I think it's a fantastic Catholic book. I think every Catholic, especially a young person, should read it, you know. So
that's amazing. Well, first of all, I'm so happy that you've come home to the Catholic faith and that Relevant Radio played a role in your journey. It's another miracle moment right here on the network. And that's really what we're in the business of, bringing Christ to the world through the media. Miracles happen every day right here on Relevant Radio. And I'm thankful that you mentioned that book, Eric. And I must confess that that's one I have not read, but I really should. People love it. And we don't have to, hey, the best book that you've read in 2022 doesn't have to be something that was written in 2022 or published in 2022. It could be a classic, could be a blast from the past. And that certainly fits the bill for Joan of Arc. And Eric, let me ask you this. What was it about Joan of Arc that really grabbed you? Like Mark Twain's portrait of her, what was it about her that really kind of struck you?
Well, he had really extensively researched Joan of Arc and had gone to France and gone into the original primary sources, historical sources and stuff. And so you could tell it really was a historical, fictionalized novel sort of her whole life, from her early childhood and her calls to serve the Lord in some ways which she couldn't understand, but involved her leaving the hometown, the farm town that she loved so much, and her family. And then she became, a national hero and a Catholic hero. But one is struck when one reads the book by the thought that Mark Twain had to have become a believer in the collecting of the information and the writing of the book, because I found it profoundly moving, and it bolstered my faith, and I was in tears at many times.
Wow.
Just to hear her story and the sacrifice and the passion, not only on her part, but that she inspired in others around her. It's just really remarkable. Anyone who has any interest, latent interest in Joan of Arc, who hasn't read that book, will certainly enjoy it. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, you know, that's a great recommendation, and I'll have to check that out. And when you were talking about Joan of Arc, just her story, you might find some people like this outside of the Catholic Church, but the saints of the Church are just so wildly unique, and their stories are just so incredible. You know, some people think that, you know, we kind of had a reference to Ned Flanders from The Simpsons in the week that was, and a lot of people think, hey, if I become a Catholic, I'm going to have to become this cookie cutter individual who's kind of like that, kind of like Ned Flanders. He's kind of this generic Christian guy next door. But no, that's not the case. It's everyone is so unique because you become more of yourself, who God created you to be. And St. Joan of Arc, what a saint of courage, the Maid of Orleans, and just becoming this warrior. It's just such an incredible, incredible life. And I'll have to check that out, Joan of Arc by Mark Twain. And yeah, I don't know much about Mark Twain, about his faith or lack thereof. I don't know where he was at. I'll have to maybe Google that, look that up. But he would have been a great Catholic if he wasn't Catholic, because he certainly, I think, understood this idea of what we call typology in the Bible, this idea that people, places, things, events from the Old Covenant find a greater referent in the New Covenant. It's like how Jesus is a new and greater Moses. We've been talking about that a lot on our Exodus series on The Faith Explained, 12:30 Central every day here on Relevant Radio, or check the podcast. Well, I had to sneak in that ad there. But he always used to say, hey, history may not always repeat itself, but man, it sure does rhyme. It sure does rhyme. And that's exactly right, because God always acts the same all the time in just new and greater ways. So this is so cool. So Eric, thank you so much for that call. I hope you have a very happy and holy Advent. Really appreciate you and that great book recommendation. So Joan of Arc by Mark Twain, the great Mark Twain. How about that? So really cool. Let's there's some more callers coming in. You can call in too, 888-914-9149. I'm going to actually go, Patrick, to line 6, Sharon in Oakley, California. Hey, Sharon, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Uh-huh.
And so what's your book? Are you calling in about the book recommendations for 2022? What was your favorite book?
I am. Yeah. Well, I'm in the middle of reading it right now. Actually, I'm only in about chapter 4. But it's called Is Atheism Dead?
Oh.
And it was written last year due to all the scientific discoveries. Mainly, he begins about the discoveries in space. Science is pointing more and more to a creator. Of course, we know there's a creator, but science is proving that everything is so perfectly in place. For example, the size of the Earth, if it was any larger or any smaller, there would be no life on Earth. The whole book is just fascinating. And he also goes into archaeological digs and how they support the accuracy of the Bible.
Oh, wow.
I haven't gotten to that part yet, but I've looked ahead at some of the other chapters. It's just a really exciting book. And honestly, my father had to force me to watch Men Land on the Moon. So I'm really not interested in space or galaxies or any of that. But I'm just finding it really fascinating.
So yeah, that's a good tip. If it's a sort of a subject matter that you're not naturally drawn to, but you still found it kind of intriguing, couldn't put it down, that's a great recommendation. So once again, it's called "Is Atheism Dead?" And the author is?
I wish I could tell you that.
Okay, I would have
to look it up.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard of this one, but it sounds really interesting. And the stuff you were saying about discoveries in science. Now, there is no conflict between faith and science. A lot of people think that there is. There isn't. Catholics don't need to be afraid to go into the fields of science, anything to do with STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. No, there's nothing to be afraid of there. Don't forget, the Big Bang Theory was created by a Catholic priest who was also a scientist. Not the TV show, but the actual theory, the Big Bang Theory of cosmology, where did the universe come from? Father George Lemaitre. Okay, so he was a Catholic priest, and many, many Catholic priests were incredible scientists. And so, and stuff you were saying about the plant, there's actually a book that, again, this is one that I haven't read, but it's been recommended to me many, many times. It's called Privileged Planet, and it's all about that. It's all about how the universe has been sort of fine-tuned for life, and if just anything was out of balance, we wouldn't be able to have the conditions for life on this planet, and just the more we uncover really the book of nature, God speaks to us through two books, nature and scripture. We learn so much about God's beauty, his design, the creator himself through his creation. And so love that call. Thank you very much, Sharon. That's a great book recommendation. And hey, want to hear from you guys. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Therese. I think it's Therese, or maybe it's Therese in Minnesota. Hi, did I get your name right?
Yes, you did. Very good. Thanks. The book that I really enjoyed, it's called Awake, Not Woke, A Christian Response to the Cult of Progressive Ideology. And it's produced by Tan Books, and the author is Noelle Maring. And so she goes on to explain how the brokenness of our culture has come to the point where we are today. And then suggestions as a Christian is how you can fight back. And especially what's going on in Minnesota and school boards and all these things that they're trying to get into the school curriculums, It's really important to educate yourself to know where these ideas came from and what their goal is and how you can refute them.
Okay, so that was Awake, Not Woke by Noelle Maring, published by Tan Books. And let me ask you this, is it Therese or Therese? I did say two different names, so I was like, did I get it right? And you're like,
Therese,
yeah. It's Therese. Yeah, okay, Therese. Okay. Well, thanks, Therese. And do you find that in your state that more and more people are turning to homeschooling?
Yes. I think people are kind of intimidated by it, but since my kids have gone and left home and into college now, it is much more prevalent, and people are finding the resources, they're finding the support with other homeschooling groups and pods, and it's really taking off.
Yeah,
what I've experienced, what I've noticed.
Yeah, I'm noticing a lot on my Twitter feed. There's so many homeschooling Catholics that are coming up there. They're really just embracing this, and it's a movement. It's a movement to be reckoned with for sure. Well, thanks so much for that call, Therese, and happy and holy Advent to you. So what are the books that really impacted you in 2022? What was your favorite read of this past year? It could be any subject. It doesn't have to be a religious subject necessarily, but if that's the case, hey, great. If that's what grabbed you, want to hear about that too. 888-914-9149's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back after this quick break. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
All right, let's rock it. Let's keep going here. I asked you guys what your favorite book of 2022 was. It's the end of the year. Time for some best of lists. I want to hear what really grabbed you. 888-914-9149. Hey, if you're on the line, stay there. We got some great, great callers with some great suggestions for you. Maybe some books you could try to read over the holidays. Let's go now to David in Anaheim, California, home of the Mighty Ducks. They're not called the Mighty Ducks anymore. But anyways, David, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Hey, Mr. Clark. It's an honor to be on here.
Oh, the honor's all mine. The honor's all mine, David. Thanks for taking the time to call in. There's so many other things you guys could be doing with your time, and I'm just thankful that you're listening to the show. So what's your favorite book of the year?
Well, you know what? It was a tough decision because I know all those other books were really good, but just to take a little break from some of the religious books, I just finished reading The Revenant and Butcher's Crossing. Fantasy books, or almost fantasy books, but they're really, really good. You know, just to take a short break if you want to read a fiction.
So, The Revenant, now that's the one that became a movie, of course, some years ago.
Yeah.
Who was in that? I'm trying to remember. Was it Leo DiCaprio? Was he in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was in it, and then Tom Hardy was the other guy, right? I don't know. I haven't seen it, but maybe I should check that out. You know, you can always watch the movie if you don't read the book. It's not the same, though. It's usually not the same. But in Butcher's Crossing, tell me about this book. I've never heard of it. Is it a fiction book? What's it about?
It's about a man from Harvard who just gets tired of academia and just kind of drops out, goes into the Midwest. And this takes place during the 1800s. Huh. You know, and he goes to a fur trading town in the Midwest and decides to hunt buffalo for a living. You know, drastic change from being a student, and he finds out what that all really means in the end.
Ooh, I like how you didn't give us the what happened in the end. So that might encourage some people to read. That sounds intriguing. A lot of people, who would drop out of Harvard? Not too many people, but these days, you know, this is another conversation I wanted to have later this week about higher education, but I'll save that for another time. That just made me think of some stuff, but Butcher's Crossing, okay. Maybe he becomes a buffalo butcher. I don't know. Maybe he tries to sell buffalo meat. I don't know. Buffalo jerky, maybe. But hey, David, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the recommendations. So if you're into fiction, you might want to grab that. You might want to grab Butcher's Crossing. That was great. David in Anaheim, California. All right. Let's go now to Jennifer in Wisconsin. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, you're welcome. So what's your choice?
My choice this year is God, Family, Country, and it's a memoir by Craig Morgan.
Okay.
And he's an entertainer. He's a country music singer. He was a Green Beret. He did some undercover work for the CIA in sex trafficking, trying to break up some rings.
Wow.
He's hilarious. He's everything. They were foster parents. They adopted a son who ended up dying, I think he was 19, in a boating accident. He has just got so many interesting facets to his life, and it all goes back to God, Family, Country. Everything that any choice or decision he's ever made. So it's very interesting. He did an outdoor channel sportsman's show, so it kind of hits interested in reading. That's the part that I liked about it. My husband is actually considering reading it. I think he's read two books in his life. So
I'm sure he's read more than
seriously,
that.
Seriously, so no, seriously. and I love to read, so I would highly recommend it.
Okay, so thanks for that. So God, Family, and Country by Craig Morgan. It sounds like he's lived about three or four lifetimes in one, and has done some really important work. And he seems like he sort of uses this as a template, as you said, for decision making, almost as a matrix. God, Family, Country. We definitely have to have our priorities in order. That is for sure. And putting God first is really what we all ought to do. Thank you so much for that call, Jennifer, in Wisconsin. All right, let's go to Kate in Albuquerque. Hey, Kate.
Let me turn my speaker off. I just wanted to tell you, I mean, I'm not being silly, I'm not being funny, but my husband, my late husband, he just passed in May, he had ALS. And I teach four-year-olds in a local Catholic school. And one of my little girls, she adopted him. She'd never met him, but she was always trying to send stuff home. last year at Christmas time, she gave me a book from our children's library in our classroom and said, read this to Mr. Donald and make him go to sleep better at night. Best book ever was called Bible Stories for Children.
Bible Stories for Children. I know it sounds silly,
but I'm telling you, she captured my husband's heart. She captured mine. And every once in a while, she'll still come to me. She's in kindergarten now. And she'll say, is he still able to read in heaven? And I said, yes, I'm sure he is, honey. So I just want to let you know, best book ever, because it brought back some great memories for my husband and I. We sat and we'd cry and laugh together. So I just wanted to say, Children's Bible Stories is the best ever.
Well, you know, as Jesus says, we all have to turn and become like little children, you know, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And so, you know, we're never too old for this stuff. And we need to recapture that childlike faith. You know, we live in a harsh world, and the scourge of ALS, it's such a horrific disease, and most people know it as Lou Gehrig's disease, as that famous athlete also had it, one of the great Yankees of all time, and drew so much attention to the cause. And it's just, I've known people who have suffered from it, and it's really, I can't imagine what you've been through, and I'm glad that you were able to have that time of faith building and bonding together over that book. And I'm really thankful that you called in, Kate. That's a wonderful blessing. And thank you so much. Thank you so much. So Children's Bible Stories. And I like reading them too. I got to confess, you know, my daughter's 6 years old, and we at various times grab the Children's Bible, and some, there's just some great ones out there that remind us that, hey, we need to have faith like children. And this is what pleases the Lord. It's trust, right? Just like a child trusts their parents, we need to trust him more and more. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I'm asking you guys what your favorite reads of 2022 were. What was your favorite book? Let's go to Erica in Pittsburgh, California. Wow, I've never heard of this place. I didn't know there was a Pittsburgh in California, but hey.
Yeah, it's not too grand, so that's probably why you haven't heard about it, but we are okay. Here. So I have a book recommendation for
sure.
You that actually, I have to say, I haven't totally finished it yet, but I have every confidence that it will, the last couple chapters will be just as good as all the first ones. So, and that is, it's a book called A Song for Nagasaki, and it's written by Paul Glynn, who's a priest, I believe. And I believe he was a missionary priest there. I'm not sure for a long time. But it's a beautiful story about a man who is a convert to the faith and a survivor of the atomic bomb.
Mm.
And that he lived in that time period. And what's so beautiful about this book is that it's a very personal story, very insightful and detailed about this man's personal experience. But he really draws in these descriptions of Japanese culture and the history and what was going on in the world. And you just feel immersed in this very large, but also very personal story. And it's told so beautifully, you know, you don't think Mr. Father Glynn is Japanese, but he has this very poetic way of writing.
Mm.
And it's a very moving and very, of course, dramatic, not just for the bomb, but just the details of life in Japan and also this man's own personal accomplishments and achievements. So without giving away the juicy details, you know, it's I think it's a very beautiful, moving book, and it's something even people maybe who aren't Catholic but, you know, aren't interested in things like history or Japan would enjoy just as much, but they would also, while they're reading it, get this beautiful story of this man's process of exploring truth and trying to find truth and coming to the Catholic Church in a country which, of course, was closed for so long. I mean, this is one of those countries where you don't have a lot of Christian history there prominent. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, thanks for that recommendation, Erica. Yeah, it's really intriguing to me, especially because my wife lived in Japan for a few years when she was teaching many, many years ago. And she was just enthralled by the culture, and I've always wanted to go there. I've always wanted to go there and experience it. And it's so true that the Catholic faith has always had, it's been very, very tough for the faith to take hold in Japan for whatever reason. The culture has always been, I mean, there obviously are Catholics in Japan, but there's always been a resistance to it throughout the centuries. And that would be a super read. Thanks for mentioning that. So A Song for Nagasaki by Paul Glynn, who apparently is a priest. So appreciate that, Erica. Thanks for the call. Let's go now to Brent in Baltimore. Hey, Brent.
Hi, Cale.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it. The book that I really found again, I found it previous years, is From Resentment to Forgiveness. It's by Francisco Ugarte. It's by Scepter Publishing.
Okay.
And so it's a small book. It's maybe 4 inches by, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 inches tops. Mm-hmm. 57 pages total. So you can read it. I've given it to friends and other people. And what's really great about the book, and this is really kind of segueing on from the caller that called in earlier that the priest talked to regarding forgiveness, and the person had to change to some degree. So forgiveness is really always about a relationship, right? Could be about, you know, maybe trying to forgive an institution, but that'd be like a group of people. And so in the conclusions, it has a list of some of the conclusions that helps. It's the sort of a way to understand, you know, our teachings, our faith, and what does it really take to forgive? I'll read some of the conclusions. The first thing needed to confront and solve the problem of resentment is to understand its nature as a negative emotional reaction to a stimulus perceived as an offense that remains within the subject with a pernicious effect. Mm-hmm. It's easier to manage resentment if one's judgment regarding the offense received is objective and neither exaggerated nor imaginary. That requires seeing the true nature of the offense and controlling one's imagination.
Got
a whole list of these.
Yeah, that's amazing. I would encourage people to check that out, From Resentment to Forgiveness. And certainly that is the temptation, right? To become bitter and to really forgive is it's not easy. It does take divine grace, and it's hard to be objective sometimes, especially when there's that quote that you gave is kind of a little snippet of that. It's very hard to look at the offense objectively when you're the victim of it, when it's been inflicted upon you. And so I think a lot of people out there really struggle with forgiveness. And so that could be a good stocking stuffer. They're only 57 pages long. So really appreciate that. Once again, that book, From Resentment to Forgiveness. And thanks for calling in, Brent. Really appreciate that. All right. Hey, we got Linda calling in from Hanford, California. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hey, what's your favorite book of the year?
Well, this year I didn't get to do too much reading, but I kid you not, my favorite book was The Inquisition that you all gave out earlier this year.
By Patrick Madrid, The Inquisition. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And what a great Q&A book that was. Did you listen to any of our quiz shows when we had Patrick Madrid on the show? We did a little Inquisition here on the Cale Clark Show. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. I missed it.
It was a lot of fun. We kind of made a game show out of it. Then I came on his show. Father Rocky did as well, Father Simon. Oh my goodness, we had so much fun. And yeah, that was a great book from Patrick Madrid. Yeah, and he's got so many of them. Patrick has a lot of great books, as you know, as no doubt you know. So they're always on everybody's best of lists every year. So Linda, thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad that you liked the book. And hey, let's go now to, let's stay in California, actually. Let's go to the capital city of California, Sacramento. Caroline is on the line. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, yeah, thank you for doing the segment. It's always good to get some good book reads. My favorite this year has been a podcast, actually, Bible in a Year. So read the Bible along with the podcast with Father Mike Schmitz and Jeff Cavins. And went to Catholic school my whole life, but had never read the Bible cover to cover. And they break it up and they organize the books so they're you get through the whole Bible in a year. And it's just been great.
Hey, you know, Caroline, I think people need to really get into Scripture, and you know, the Bible is a Catholic book, and we really need to reclaim that as the, one of the privileged ways that, that God speaks to us. And so another program that if you haven't tried The Faith Explained here on Relevant Radio, you might want to check that one out too. That's the other show that I host daily. We kind of dive into the biblical books as well, and we spend a little bit more time. I think it's good to do both. I think it's really good to do a bird's eye view sometimes of Scripture and get that 30,000-foot look at the whole book. And, you know, well, there are a lot of books, of course. There are 73 books in the Bible, but get that top-down look. And then also to get kind of a worm's eye view, too, and really delve into it. And we've done some studies on a lot of books in Scripture on the Faith Explained program, so you might want to check that out. It could be a good companion as well. So appreciate that call. I'm always a fan of anything that helps people read Scripture. Let's go now to Lori. We're going to stay in California, in Turlock, California. Hey, Lori.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
You're
thanks for calling.
In California, you have a lot of big readers in California, it looks like today.
It sounds like it, yeah.
The book that I wanted to point out, I'm part of a Catholic book group for the last 13 years, and a book we just finished in September is called Jesus, I Trust in You, A 30-Day Personal Retreat with a Litany of Trust. Mm. And the author is Sister Faustina Maria Pia, who actually authored the Litany of Trust. And she was going through a difficult time in her life, and she just sat down and started writing all the ways that, you know, she needed to trust. And that became the litany. And then from there, she wrote this 30-day retreat, taking each of the items that she included in the litany and breaking them down about how we should look to Christ. And there's no reason not to trust, with just some beautiful examples. And it was a terrific read. We had a fabulous discussion in our group. And as we talked about it, we thought it would be a wonderful book to have during the Lenten season, because these are chapter by chapter reflections. They're usually about three to four pages long, and they just talk about one aspect of why we should trust our Lord. It was a beautiful book.
That sounds incredible. And I've read that, and I've prayed that litany of trust, that litany of mercy. And now Sister Faustina Maria Pia is her name, right? And she's one of the Sisters of Life, correct?
I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
The initials after her name is SV.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what order she is a part of.
The V stands for Vitae,
yes,
I think.
You're correct. You are correct.
Yeah, the Sisters of Life, they're just incredible. They do so much great pro-life work, and the Sisters of Life are very active where I live, in the city I live, and I tell you, every time I get to hear one of them give a presentation or anything like that, I'm just moved to tears. I am so touched by what they do. And of course, the Divine Mercy is so important here on Relevant Radio. And speaking of books on Divine Mercy, our own Drew Mariani, of course, wrote a book on Divine Mercy, which we made available sometime here on Relevant Radio. And I'm sure that he's prayed that and is quite aware of this book as well. But yeah, I prayed the litany. I'm excited to hear there's a book about it. I would love to delve into this a little bit more deeply myself. So thank you very much for the call, Lori. Really appreciate that. All right, we got to take a quick break here on the Cale Clark Show. But if you're on the line, please stay there. Sam, Joseph, Mary Kay, Randy, we'll try to get to you. And we have a couple of phone lines open as well. If you want to call in and tell me what your favorite book of 2022 was, 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show. We'll be right back after this.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It's our final segment, 888-914-9149. Final chance to get in. I'm asking you what your favorite book of 2022 was. It doesn't have to be written in 2022, but what did you read that really grabbed you? Well, it doesn't matter. It could be a business book. It could be a book about relationships. It could be a book about the faith. Hey, the Catholic faith is about everything, right? So we can apply the truth to all of these subjects. And I have to tell you that producer Jim, one of the things he wanted to say is that most of his favorite books are actually cookbooks, because he loves to eat. So, and he's read quite a few of them, and he loves to cook too. And I've sampled his cooking, and it's excellent. I hope to be back in Chicago soon to have another bratwurst from Jim. But anyways, all right, let's get cooking with your phone calls now. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Randy in Evansville, Indiana. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Cale. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
Okay, so what is your book of the year?
Just finished reading shortly, a month or so ago, a book called 61 Minutes to Miracle by Bonnie Engstrom.
61 Minutes to a Miracle. And what's that all about?
That is about, it's about Bonnie's son, James, that is being born at home, part of their plan. Unfortunately, he was still born 61 minutes between being birth at home until they got him to a hospital and got him resuscitated, which, you know, 61 minutes is an awful long time to go without oxygen.
Yeah, what happened to this little boy?
Yeah, it was literally a miracle. They were praying for the intercession of Bishop Fulton Sheen because they live in Peoria. And Peoria, of course, is where he is from. And they credit the miracle of saving James' life and him being healthy, you know, with his intercession. And it's actually the miracle being used in the canonization process.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's phenomenal. So 61 minutes to a miracle. Yeah, that is definitely something that is beyond the natural means. I mean, 61 minutes without oxygen for an infant is... That is truly miraculous, and Bishop Sheen, of course, is kind of a, you know, really one of our forerunners here at Relevant Radio. He used media to great effect to reach the world for Christ, and he was so good at that. And believe it or not, Randy, I actually have a friend. Sometimes he calls into the show. His name is Bob, Dr. Bob Tabali. You guys know him. He's a guest frequently on Drew Mariani's show as well. He was actually confirmed by Bishop Sheen. He actually showed me the photo. Unbelievable. So confirmed by... somebody whose cause of canonization is ongoing, and this is one of the miracles that's being looked at. So that book, once again, 61 Minutes to a Miracle, if you want to check it out. Randy liked it. You might as well. Let's go now to Mary Kay in Rialto, California. And by the way, you can call in too, 888-914-9149. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, how are you?
I am well.
Good. I'm calling because I'm part of a group called Fellowship of Catholic Christian Women, and it's been going on for about 27 years now.
Wow.
But the book that we're doing this year, which all of us who had to choose agreed on the first time around, is called Never on Sunday.
Never on Sunday. Okay.
Right. And it's by Kathleen Kickline, and it's a sequel to the book called Sisters in Scripture. But this one is the women who never appear in the Sunday lectionary and sometimes never appear in the lectionary at all.
Huh, that's intriguing. Can you give me some of these women?
Oh, yeah. Deborah and JL and Huldah, I had never heard of. And Judith.
Judith,
she has her own book, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ruth and Naomi. Yeah, we we're just getting ready to start into the New Testament when we get to the new year.
Wow, that sounds interesting. Never on Sunday. Well, yeah, those heroines of the Bible are pretty impressive. We talked about Joan of Arc earlier, of course, a great saint from Christian history. And yeah, Judas, she cut off the head of Holofernes, who's kind of like an archetype of Satan. He was a bad, bad dude. Really cool stuff. And there's so much in there to inspire, absolutely. So Never on Sunday. That's an interesting book recommendation by Mary Kay. So thank you for that, Mary Kay. And appreciate that. And I thought she was going to sell me cosmetics for a minute. No, I'm only kidding. I'm sure she hears that every day. So Never on Sunday is the book. And it has nothing to do with the Bears not being able to beat the Packers, which I was really sad about. I thought they would pull it off yesterday, but they didn't. Aaron Rodgers got one over again. His reign will come to an end at some point, I guess. But let's go back to the phones right now, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Patrick in Las Lunas, New Mexico. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Cale. How are you doing?
I'm good. So what's your book of the year for 2022?
So we actually have read for the last several years a a set of books, and there's one per Advent. It's called Jotham's Journey, Tabitha's Travels, Ishtar's Odyssey, and Bartholomew's Passage. And it's written by Arnold, and I'll be honest, I can't say the last name. Yetreed. And they're fictional stories, but they go through, you have one chapter every day of Advent, and they're very adventurous. There's these kids' travels all the way up to the birth of Christ, and my kids just love them. They can't wait to read them every year, so...
Okay, so the series is called, okay, so some of the books are Ishtar's Odyssey, Bartholomew's Passage. Is there a name for the series overall? Is it called the something series, or I don't know?
Series. There's just a set of four books. They have, and they follow these children through this time right before Christ's birth in Bethlehem, and they're pretty adventurous. They're fictional, but they're really good, and the kids just love them for Advent.
Well, hey, anything to get kids reading and kind of engage in their faith is a great suggestion. So thank you for that, Patrick. So adventurous books for Advent, you know, Advent. Yep. The word Advent is in adventure. So I like that. It makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Patrick. Let's go now to Connor in Sparks, Nevada. Hi, Connor.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So what's the book that touched your heart this year?
Mine's sort of an older book called The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom.
Yeah, tell me about Corrie. Now, a lot of our audience probably knows about Corrie Ten Boom, but why don't you explain to our listeners who she was?
She was a Dutch Christian, predominantly, this takes place during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And during the war, she took in a bunch of Jewish people into her house, and her family, who were all very devout Christians, helped either hide them in their house or smuggle them out of Holland. After the war, she went around the entire world helping set up schools, rehabilitation centers.
Nice.
And the book, it deals a lot with the grace of God and the unexpected ways horrible things can come together, but like work out in a good way. Like there's one part of where fleas end up helping Corrie Ten Boom spread the gospel.
Well, that sounds intriguing. Absolutely. Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? That God can bring good out of evil and the worst situations that human beings can devise. And certainly we saw some horrific things happening in World War II, and we still see it to the present day, all the conflicts that are going on out there that speak to the depravity of humanity and how we need Christ. And obviously the greatest time that God brought good out of evil, the greatest good was, of course, through the cross. And people killed God, if you will. And yet that was also the instrument of our forgiveness and our salvation. Thank you so much for that call. Yeah, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Heard about that a lot during my years in the Dutch Reformed congregation, the Christian Reformed Church. I was involved with that denomination before I came back into the Catholic Church. And hey, the Dutch are not so popular in the United States right now because they beat the Americans in the World Cup, but that's okay. That's okay. U.S. soccer is on the upswing for sure. All right. Well, listen, Linda is calling from Pocahontas, Illinois. Hi, Linda. We got about 30 seconds. What's your book for today? Wanted to slip you in there onto the show here.
Okay, well, it was A Life is Worth Living by Bishop Fulton Sheen. And the number one thing I remember about the book is that he said that the powerhouse that he had to live his life and do as much as he did was being in the presence of the Lord an hour a day. And
yeah.
I know Mother Teresa did that too. And I was like, I don't have availability of Eucharistic adoration every single day in where I live.
Yeah, and Linda, you know, you got to do it when you can, and the Lord loves the generosity of even a few moments. Thank you so much to everybody who called in. I'll be back tomorrow. Patrick Kalog took your calls, kept him busy. Jim produced. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.